You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy hump day. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you're just joining us and catching up to speed on the day's news, first, it is official. Donald Trump is getting his brand new jet from Qatar. Yep, that's a thing that happened today. They have officially accepted the Qatari jet. Maybe worth $250 million, maybe worth $400 million. Who knows? And let's just not worry about that constitutional provision that prohibits presidents from taking gifts from foreign governments. Never mind that. Also in news, since 1 a.m. this morning, there has been a raging debate on Capitol Hill. The MAGA regime proposing to rip $1 trillion in Medicaid and emergency food assistance out of the mouths of kids in school, nearly 18 million of them set to lose school lunches, and ripping healthcare away from nearly 14 million Americans. Where are the moderate Republicans? I would really like to know. There are five Republicans in congressional districts that won by razor-thin margins, where they have big percentages of their constituents on Medicaid. What are these people saying? Why are they not debating it? It seems to me that only Democrats are having any kind of discussion about what's in this big, brutal bill. That debate has been roiling on Capitol Hill. Again, a one-sided debate. Democrats talking about what's actually in the bill. Republicans largely refusing to engage in any discussion because, well, it's embarrassing. That's why you schedule hearings at 1 a.m., ladies and gentlemen. Not because you're for things like transparency and accountability and efficiency. No, no. Because you're embarrassed. Here are those five congressional Republicans. I don't get it. Nick Begich of Alaska, Juan Kiskomani of Arizona, Ken Calvert of California, Jeff Hurd of Colorado, Rob Breshnahan of Pennsylvania. Where are these guys? You've got huge percentages of people on Medicaid. What? You're just like, man, that's fine. Forget those people. That is what is going on. It is absolutely stunning. Again, robbing from the poor and working people to give to the rich. That is the MAGA regime's plan for a healthy U.S. economy. I'm not really sure how any of that's going to sort out. But the Congressional Budget Office does, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. They're reporting that this big, brutal bill could blow up our deficit by somewhere in the ballpark of $3.8 to over $5 trillion. It could be so big as to actually put GDP into negative territory. In other words, GDP no longer growing, actually shrinking. It could actually have negative impacts on wages. So if you thought you weren't making what you deserve today, just wait for the big brutal bill. You'll be earning even less tomorrow. And gosh knows what's going to happen with those tariffs, ladies and gentlemen. That's part of what's going on today. The other breaking news today, and I'm just befuddled by this, is the behavior of our president in the Oval Office with yet another head of state today. I'm going to get to that sound. The president of South Africa was in the Oval Office today. Donald Trump ambushed him, I don't know, basically threw out an absolute avalanche, a spew of nonsense alleging some kind of white genocide in South Africa, which is garbage, in some weird twisted defense of him rejecting refugees from places like Afghanistan and South Sudan and other places, though many refugees had been in a years-long vetting process to come to the country, instead favoring white Afrikaners who were part and benefit of one of the most oppressive racist regimes in all of human history, also known as apartheid in South Africa. Those are the refugees that Donald Trump wants to welcome into the country. You think it might be because they're white? I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Those are refugees Donald Trump wants because they're white. Other refugees, not white, yeah, he won't take those people, right? That is what's going on. The behavior of our president today absolutely stunning in the Oval Office. We're going to take some of that sound. But in case you had any question of whether or not we had a boorish fool for a president, yesterday he was at a board meeting for the Kennedy Center. Jacob, do you have this sound queued up? I'm not sure what cut number it is, but I want to take that Kennedy Center sound. Yeah, you know, Donald Trump purged the Kennedy Center board, appointed all of his MAGA regime faithful, a bunch of sycophants. And they, of course, then elected Donald Trump as president of the Kennedy Center board. And they're now purging and, you know, making sure that everything's very white normative purist that will be performed on the Kennedy Center stage. They had a board meeting last night. Here's what Donald Trump had to say to the board of the Kennedy
Center. And we got the Olympics, and then we got through Johnny, who's the boss. He's a friend of mine. We got the World Cup. I got them both. And I said, man, I won't be president. I got the Olympics and the World Cup, and I won't be president. And they're going to forget that I got them. Nobody's going to mention it because, you know, a little bit, that's the way life is. And then they rigged the election. And then I said, you know what I'll do? I'll run again and I'll shove it up their ass.
Ah, yes. A man of high culture, dignity, and class, indeed. Such a role model for all the young people. Yes. President Donald Trump, yesterday at the Kennedy Center Board of Directors meeting, you know, score settling and elevating American culture. Well done, sir. Well done. But let's now, from that, pivot and take a listen to what only can be described as truly, truly bizarre. This is President Trump in the Oval Office today with the president of South Africa, Ramaphosa. We're going to take the long cut here, Jacob. This is going to be cut 27. Listen to what goes down here. He's asked a question about the refugees, and his response goes not well.
Any questions, please?
Mr. President, you welcome white Afrikaner refugees here. Can you explain to Americans why it's appropriate to welcome white Afrikaners here when other refugees like Afghans, Venezuelans, Haitians have all had their protected status revoked?
Well, this is a group, NBC, that is truly fake news. They ask a lot of questions in a very pointed way. They're not questions, they're statements. We've had tremendous complaints about Africa, about other countries too, from people. They say there's a lot of bad things going on in Africa, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. When you say we don't take others, all you have to do is take a look at the southern border. We let 21 million people come through our border, totally unchecked, totally unvetted. They came from all over the world. In many cases, they're criminals. They come from prisons. They come from mental institutions. They come from street gangs. They're drug dealers. So don't say that we didn't take them. We take them. We're trying to get them out as fast as we can. And we're doing record business on that. And we just won a big case where we're allowed to send back hundreds of criminals to Venezuela. Just won that today in the Supreme Court. I'm happy to hear. But we do have a lot of people are very concerned with regard to South Africa, and that's really the purpose of the meeting, and we'll see how that turns out. But we have many people that feel they're being persecuted, and they're coming to the United States. So we take from many, many locations if we feel there's persecution or genocide going on. And we had a lot of people. I must tell you, Mr. President, we have had a tremendous number of people, especially since they've seen this. Generally, they're white farmers, and they're fleeing South Africa, and it's a very sad thing to see. But I hope we can have an explanation of that, because I know you don't want that. It's a kind of a different meeting. Normally, we have meetings, we talk about trade, and we'll be talking about trade and other things. But that certainly will be a subject that comes up, yeah.
Wow. First of all, dear Mr. President, dear class act, you know, the guy that redid the Oval Office to look like a tacky version of Caesar's Palace. Yeah, that guy. There's a difference between refugees going through the U.S. refugee program and migrants. Let's just start there. I don't think the man actually knows the difference. And maybe someone should remind the President of the United States that, again, apartheid, bad. Let's say it with me, Mr. President. Apartheid, bad. Racist regimes that oppress people based on their skin color and take their property and subjugate them and basically treat them as slaves, that's bad. Can we get that right? I do not understand why any of this is acceptable. And oh, in case you missed it, by the way, the Trump administration today waved its magic wand and is ending consent decrees and Department of Justice monitoring of police departments who had been sued for egregious and systemic violations of what? Black folks' civil rights across the country. They are ending those consent decrees unilaterally, indicating there's no more need to monitor these police departments. What do you think this is about? It is overt, out loud racism. And we haven't gotten to the place in the Oval Office meeting where Donald Trump lectures the president of South Africa about race-based violence. I just want everyone to, whatever your politics, whatever you think of the president, is it not a little uncomfortable to have a white self-proclaimed billionaire born into extraordinary wealth who has been prosecuted for a number of crimes, convicted of 34 felonies, to sit in the Oval Office and lecture a black man, the president of South Africa, about racial violence? Anyone find this? I don't know if we're talking about matters of taste. A little bit distasteful, to put it mildly. I don't know what we're witnessing or why this is okay, but maybe if South Africa had a plane to give the president, it would all be just fine. Oh, wait, yeah, they talked about that in the Oval Office. Let's take a list. 28.
Sorry, I don't have any to give you.
I wish you did. I would take it. If your country offered the United States Air Force a plane, I would take it.
Okay.
And I just want to say this to a few of our texters. I'm going to pick this up on the other side. Talking about me not believing my eyes, the video that was shown about the issues that are occurring in South Africa. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. And whatever you may think may or may not be going on in South Africa, dear John from Milwaukee, a white man lecturing a black man about racial violence can never be considered in good taste, let alone between two leaders of countries. Full stop. My name is Maggie Dawn. We'll be back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join the conversation, 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you missed it, there was an absolute spectacle. I'd call it a debacle. An overt display of white ignorance, white privilege, white fragility, and oppression in the Oval Office today by our Commander-in-Chief Donald Trump. He was speaking with the President of South Africa, President Ramaphosa, and Donald Trump repeated over and over and over again claims of, quote, white genocide in South Africa. Now, genocide under the law is a specific legal term, but we don't need to parse it because there has never been any credible evidence of any such thing in South Africa. Now, after the fall of an overtly racially oppressive regime that did execute people based on race without due process, a system called apartheid, when South Africa restated its constitution, it did legalize the taking of land from Afrikaners without compensation. That is subject to judicial review. You know, due process. To invert the idea of oppression, to claim that those who have oppressed Black South Africans for hundreds of years are now the oppressed, is both offensive and factually wrong. Now, in the video, there were scenes of a rallying cry, "Kill the Boer." The Boer refer to Dutch and Afrikaans. Yes, that has been said, but that saying was popularized by a leader of another political party, not the political party of the president of South Africa that was sitting in the Oval Office today. And indeed, the African National Congress has disclaimed, disavowed, and condemned those statements. The president of South Africa in the Oval Office today saying, quote, "We have a multi-party democracy in South Africa that allows people to express themselves. Our government policy is completely against what he was saying." Trump ignored the man, flipped through pages, kept saying death, death, death. Now, have white South Africans been murdered in South Africa? Yes. But all of the statistics from South Africa show that they are not killed at a higher rate than Black South Africans. This is garbage. Now, if you want some actual information about South Africa, I did a little research. White South Africans, who comprise 7.3% of the population of South Africa, own 72% of the country's farming and agricultural lands. Black South Africans, who make up over 80% of the population, own only about 4%. South Africa is considered one of the most unequal countries in the world. The richest 10% of the population there own more than 85% of all wealth. Now, if the president of the United States wanted to engage in the complexities and some of the corruption in the current alliances that exist within the South African government, including some of the controversies that have plagued the African National Congress, then having that discussion would be warranted. There are complexities there. But what Donald Trump said in the Oval Office today was both factually incorrect and insulting to Black South Africans, and indeed, people of good faith everywhere, no matter what your race. Another fact. Since the end of apartheid, all data that I have been able to find has shown that the top 1%, the wealthiest of South Africa, have actually increased their wealth. This is part of the problem that is existing within South African government right now. They enacted truth and reconciliation. They enacted some version of reparations, but these things are not having a material impact on the welfare of the vast majority of Black South Africans. The question must be asked, why? But again, the allegation of white genocide is a lie. That is not occurring in South Africa. There is no evidence to support it. According to the World Inequality Lab, in partnership with the Paris School of Economics, as well as additional worldwide universities, including Johannesburg's University, a university out of Belgium, that's where I got the data for today from. And finally, I'll just say this, their analyses conclude that race is a significant, if not the significant factor in economic inequality in South Africa, accounting for 41% of all disparities, while education access and educational attainment account for only 30% of disparities. So, yeah, does South Africa need to have some deep probing conversations about the post-apartheid legacy in South Africa? Yeah. But the manner in which Donald Trump conducted himself in the Oval Office today says nothing about that problem, but it does say everything about ongoing racism, white privilege, and white fragility, indeed, in the Oval Office today. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. This conversation continues. We're going to take your calls. We're going to discuss trauma as an intentional political strategy by our billionaire overlord Elon Musk and Donald Trump when we come back. Keep it locked, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that often on Wednesdays, I try to do a segment called Over the Hump and Trump to give us some relief from the politics, often picking points of connection in the midst of so much darkness. I haven't done that in the last couple of weeks because, frankly, there's too much important stuff that I want to talk about with each and every one of you, especially when some of our conservative friends want to have pointed debates on the text line, especially with me. But one of the things that I will not do is have debates that resound in tropes and racial stereotypes. And I want to be extraordinarily clear here when I say this. Starvation and death is bad. It doesn't attend to any race for us to condemn that and look at that. But again, what occurred today in the Oval Office, I offer my opinions here, was disgusting. Full stop. Want to take some of your calls now, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Joe from Madison, how are you? And welcome to the show.
Great comments. And I would add on to this, Maggie. It's just some of the conservative friends might want to get a sense of just how demented and far down the rat hole our leader is. There was a title from Barron's magazine today. Barron's, not really known as a left-wing rag. They're economics mainly. And the title was about the DRC visual used over South Africa, suggesting South African genocide. That is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The Democratic Republic of the Congo is a completely different country within the continent of Africa. So there's our president, and here's the quote that they had in the article. He's shuffling through these pictures from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, saying that they are from South Africa, showing genocide. And he's saying, death, death, death. Oh, horrible death. And for the last few days, these are all people who were recently killed. They were killed in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, not in South Africa. I mean, we are dealing with a man who is just not placed in reality anymore. And there is a lot of allegations that they are cleaning up the transcripts of things that he says because he sounds so nutty. We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed. He's an idiot at this point, and we look terrible. Leaders, South Africa is a very vital country within the continent of Africa, which has huge amount of importance to us as we go forward into this next decades in terms of rare minerals, in terms of all sorts of things. Anyway, I offer that. It's Barron's. You can look it up if anybody wants to. But the guy didn't even have photos of the right country. So.
Thanks much, Joe. And in fact, the president of South Africa, Ramaphosa, said that in the Oval Office. He said, that's not South Africa. So might be appropriate. Like, who's giving the guy these photos? Right? Like, part of this leads me to a place where I'm asking questions about who the staffers and the handlers are. And does anyone even care to get it even remotely correct? I think not. I asked that about Republican Congress people as well. Are they so willfully ignorant? Is there no staffer to tell them, like, no, there actually is $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid and emergency food assistance? And yes, you have 25, 30, 30 plus percent of your constituents are on Medicaid. Is there no staffer? Is there no person that will actually tell the truth? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jack from Merrimack, you're up next.
Yes, thank you. This is all distraction anyway. This and the immigration and a lot of other things to distract from this big, brutal bill. And there is a provision, and I think I may have mentioned this on your program before, is a provision in that bill that basically attempts to gut the power of the federal courts by cutting off funding from any court that has the temerity to find the Trump administration or any of their lackeys in contempt. That's built into this budget bill, and it's a huge, huge overreach from the executive branch into the judicial branch. Second thing is that I can't imagine how the MAGA party could possibly, in their wildest dreams, think that they're going to survive an election in 2026. If there is an election, and this is something we've got to watch out for, they're going to try to rig something. I have absolutely no doubt. So-called Save Act is just one of their approaches. If that doesn't look like it's working, I think they might try something more serious. So those are my comments for the day.
Thanks so much, Jack. Jack is talking about a provision that was slid into the big, brutal bill that will basically strip federal courts of the right to hold the Trump administration or any administration, a Democratic one included, in contempt of a court order. It is an overreach. It is constitutionally repugnant. It invades on the discretion of courts to handle matters of equity, which include injunctions and intermediate relief to preserve the status quo. It is terrible. They're also considering on the Senate side getting rid of the filibuster. I'm going to detail this tomorrow because it is really, really weird how this is coming up. And I'm going to talk about these things in greater detail tomorrow. These are Republicans using, and they're not Republicans, it's the MAGA regime, using all kinds of little tactics and underhanded things under the cloak of night or buried in bills to try to basically hand over more and more power to the executive branch of government. We're supposed to have three equal branches of government. We're supposed to have checks and balances. That is what our framers intended. And I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing? It is absolutely devastating what is being considered. In addition to the trillions of dollars in tax giveaways to 100 millionaires and billionaires. And listen, John from Milwaukee, my conservative friend, back on the text line saying, you're asking questions about staffers not giving their elected officials the accurate information about bills. What do you have to say about staffers that covered up Biden's frailties? I say shame on them too, John. They didn't do their jobs well either. But the fact of the matter is, Biden ain't president anymore. And if you want to keep looking in the rear view as to and for excuses about why your elected officials from the MAGA regime aren't doing the right thing today, your pocket will get picked right along with the rest of the middle class. The fact of the matter is Donald Trump is president. This is a MAGA regime bill that's going to steal trillions from the middle class to give to the wealthiest. That is the fact of the matter about what is happening today. Joe Biden ain't president. I choose to talk about what's happening today. Those people that enabled a president who is not capable of serving another four terms, of entertaining that idea, they should be drummed out of politics. But that is distraction and a sideshow. The big, brutal bill, John, that is happening today. And I'm happy to report to each and every one of you that it appears that additional Republican support is eroding. Jacob, can we take this on? This is a number of Republicans within the last couple of hours saying they will not support the big, brutal bill. Of course, these folks are talking about there's not enough cuts. Maybe they should talk about revenue side. Maybe they should talk about taxing billionaires their fair share. But let's take a listen.
My concern about the deficit and the debt is tremendous. This bill, in its entirety, the way it was written, we would go from $36 trillion now in debt to $56 trillion minimum. If this bill goes through the way it is written, with no fraud, waste, and abuse taken out of Medicaid, we would own Obamacare, not repeal it.
And currently, the bill spends more money than it would than the status quo. I mean, so it doesn't actually help deficits; it actually hurts the deficits.
If the speaker brings it to the floor tonight,
I think the bill's going to have problems.
There you have it. Not sure what's going to happen next. Speaker Mike Johnson, too chicken to meet Hakeem Jeffries and actually have a debate about these billionaire giveaways and corporate welfare. Unbelievable what is going on in Congress today. And again, to my brother John from Milwaukee, my conservative friend, how about we pay attention to what's happening today, as opposed to rehashing how much you hate the past president? Ollie from the Northwoods, you're up next. Go ahead.
Well, I've listened to the last couple of callers, and I agree wholeheartedly with what they say. And as to John, a lot of accidents happen while people are looking in the rearview mirror. So he might want to keep that in mind. But I really called to talk about the part you played with the president and the African president in the Oval Office today. And I just think it should not go unnoticed that that African leader realized that Trump can be bought. All leaders in this world are realizing that Trump is up for sale, and what you give him is what you get out of him. And that
a sad reality, Ollie, by flattery or fraud, right? Like by giving him gifts or flattering the man, he is subject to manipulation. I believe we may have some fresh sound from Mike Johnson following a meeting of the far-right Republican contingent and Mike Johnson in the White House. Let's take a listen to the shorter cut, Jacob, see what the speaker had to say for himself.
The plan is to move forward as we expected. That was a very productive meeting at the White House. It's great to have a president that is so directly engaged with what happens in the other branch of government over here in the legislative branch. It was a collection of leaders from the House and most of them Freedom Caucus leaders, and we had a good discussion. I think we're in a very good place. I think that all of our colleagues here will really like this final product, and I think we're going to move forward.
Anybody ever get the sense that like Mike Johnson might be a wee bit of like a marionette, and he just like words come out of his mouth and his arms move, but somebody else is pulling the strings? A little disconnected from what's happening here on Earth One. I just get a real weird ventriloquist dummy sort of feel from little Mike Johnson. That's the vibe he gives me. I don't know if he's just not dealing with reality, and let's hope this whole thing goes down in a blazing ball of fire. My fear is, ladies and gentlemen, that this big, brutal bill that guts and sticks the knife into the backs of MAGA supporters across the middle class and the working poor is going to become law. Folks, we're going to continue this discussion on the other side. Stay on the lines if you're there. 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods said it best. If you're looking in the rear view, it's a good way to get in an accident. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show, we keep it in the here and now and our eyes looking forward. Keep it locked. I'll be back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We did not get to the discussion today about the intentional use of trauma as a political tactic embraced by Elon Musk, Russell Vogt, and a lot of them. I will cover it tomorrow. We have the sound. I want to put that together. I want to give it its due. So we will talk about that tomorrow. I apologize to everybody that we didn't get it today. Also tomorrow, and this is important, did you know that Donald Trump is considering deploying National Guard troops into our streets without invoking the Insurrection Act? I'm going to discuss that. 20,000 National Guard troops marching through our streets. This is possible. This is being discussed as we speak, as we convene together here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow as well. But let's return to your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Richard from Waukesha, hello, sir.
Hi, young lady. I can say that because I'm an old fogey.
I'll take young lady any day of the week, my friend.
Okay, I got a piece of work that is as good as my in-the-park home run way back in the day.
Okay.
I have a film. I grew up in high school in the 60s, and it's about a group that was the largest anti-war film group organized in the country. And it was called The Weather Underground. Now, this film is superb. It happens when Nixon is in impeachment or in negotiating his resignation.
Resignation. What's the name of the movie about the underground?
It's called The Weather Underground.
It is.
Now,
okay. Sorry, Richard, we got to get to a couple more calls. We could talk about The Weather Underground on the show for an entire show. I think the movements in the 60s for civil rights, the anti-war protests, for equal rights and equal pay for women are an exemplar, are a point in history that we can look to as an example of how to invigorate grassroots movements now in response to this attack on the middle class, this attack on the working poor, and this full-hearted embrace of a regime that benefits only the very wealthiest among us and makes it impossible for you and your kids to do better. You want to be one of the wealthiest? Yeah, well, what the big brutal bill that they're debating is going to lock you out of that possibility. That's how they're rigging the system. They are rigging the economy to screw you and your family. It is happening today on Capitol Hill. It is signed and authored by the MAGA regime, by the corrupt commander-in-chief. That is what is up. That is what is at stake. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're up next, sir.
Too many on the right in our government and on the MAGA side, you know, there this line kind of paraphrased from the Declaration of Independence, deaf to the voice of justice and to paraphrase the phrase, to our shared humanity. And what does this big, beautiful bill, ugly bill, do to actually further the establishment of justices in this country or promote the general welfare, which is the primary reason of our government to exist, to promote the general welfare, not the specific welfare of the people
the
at
elites.
The top.
Yeah. Mark, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Cam from Appleton, got to make it quick. Hi, friend.
Hey, I mentioned this on Dom's show before, and I think I'm getting closer to a solution here, but this whole timeline is screwed right now, and I pinpointed when it started to get screwed, and it's back when a Kim and Kanye West sex tape was made, and if we can go back and destroy that from ever being released to the public, I think we'd be good.
What was that movie, like the with the butterfly thing, the one flap of the butterfly wings and history is differently? I actually, Cam, I kind of see where your head's going with this, like the degradation of our attention span and everything getting sucked up by the Kim Kardashian sex tape, dot 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 And here we are. I hope it is not that simple because, wow, we got a lot of garbage flying around the information sewer these days. To finish this out this afternoon, I'm going to give credit to Charlie Sykes, his Substack. He actually quoted conservative Charles Krauthammer in his Substack today. And I think sometimes for those of you who may be listening that are conservatives or, you know, sort of maybe dabble in that, maybe a little bit more right-leaning, I want to quote some of the words that Charlie elevated from Mr. Krauthammer that I think are incredibly important and salient today. And it's about, why do we care? Why do we argue about these things? And it spoke to me. I have always cared about politics, and I always will. And here's what Charles Krauthammer had to say about why we all should care. In the end, all the beautiful, elegant, good things in life, the things that I care about, the things that matter, depend on getting the politics right. Because in those societies where they get it wrong, everything is destroyed. Everything is leveled. He echoes John Adams when he wrote, "I must study politics and war so that our sons and daughters may have the liberty to study mathematics, art, and philosophy." And this, to end our time together today, politics is the moat, the walls beyond which lie the barbarians. Should we fail to keep them at bay, and everything burns. That's going to do it for me today. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.